You'll now turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11. For those visiting with us, we have been working through the Gospel of Luke. We have come to Luke chapter 11, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. We've been looking over the past several weeks at the individual petitions, the prayer as a whole, and then the individual petitions. We've looked at who we pray to, our Father in heaven. The first two petitions, hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. And today we'll be looking at that third petition, your will be done. And for context, though, we will read verses 1 through 4 of Luke chapter 11. Let's now hear the word of our God, beginning in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As for the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, help us to have understanding, not simply of the words, but true understanding. Understanding of what this means for us as your people. What it means to pray, your will be done. And help us as we pray this to do your will. Work in us by your Spirit. Strengthen us in our inner man that we might bring glory to you in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have stopped watching a lot of television or even listening to a lot of radio. But when I do, or when I have in the past, I've heard an increasing number of ads for medicine. And these ads are interesting. They spend most of the ad telling us the wondrous things that this medicine is going to do. It is the next best thing for whatever condition you have. Most of the ad is spent trying to convince the person to buy this medicine. Then comes the tail end of the ad. What's coming now? The listing of all of the side effects, potential side effects. Warning, taking this medication may cause you to become tired or be unable to sleep. This medication may cause irritation, swelling, rash, and then it gets even worse. Progressively, this medicine may cause high blood pressure, loss of vision, loss of feelings in your limbs, kidney failure, liver failure, paralysis, and death. Some lawyer probably wrote this up, wanted to cover every possibility. By the time they finish this list, it makes a person wonder if continuing to suffer with whatever condition they were suffering with might not be better than getting this medicine. Because the cure might be worse than the disease. You might be asking, what do the potential side effects of medicine have to do with praying this prayer, your will be done? And simply this, like medicines, this prayer ought to come with its own warning. This prayer ought to come with its own warning. It may go something like this, warning, praying the prayer, your will be done, will lead to an increased desire to obey God. Will lead to withdrawal symptoms from the things of the world which you once considered precious. It may lead to putting the needs of others before your own. The spontaneous desire to tell people about Jesus. Or how about this one? Suffering for the cause of Christ in the world. It may lead, or will lead, to the conversion of sinners. And finally, to the knowledge of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. You may think, well, these don't sound too bad. They're not. They're great. They're wonderful. But your flesh is not going to think so. You see, we have this flesh within us that will rear up, and this is a dangerous prayer because your flesh will not want it to be answered. But I can tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth praying because the side effects of praying this prayer are both intended and necessary. Intended because it is God's will that we as His people become like Him. And necessary because we are so far from His glory, because we are a sinful and a selfish people. Yes, I can say that. You are all sinful and selfish. How do I know this? Well, the Bible says it, but I also know my own heart. I want to do my own will. I want to do what pleases me. But this is a prayer, really, against our own will. When we pray, "Your will be done." Now, the context here is one, as I mentioned earlier, in which Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray. He's on His way to Jerusalem. He has set His face to go there. He knows what awaits Him. He's going to the cross. But He's still got work to do. And here He has teaching to do, teaching to His disciples. One of His disciples has just witnessed Him praying. As it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, this was His custom. Once He ceased, one of His disciples came to Him and asked Him this question, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I said in an earlier sermon that that is a prayer that we ought to all always pray. "Lord, teach me to pray." Because we are so weak in our prayers. Maybe you don't feel it, but I do. "Teach me to pray, Lord, because I don't know and I can't even do it apart from Your Spirit. Teach me to pray." And Jesus answers that request, and He gives this teaching. We've looked at the fact that He begins by telling us the relationship that we have with God, our Father in heaven, that Father who is willing to give us what we need. Unlike an earthly father who is evil, He is not evil. And if an earthly father who is evil knows to give good gifts, how much more so your Father in heaven? Praying for His name above every other name to be glorified, and for His kingdom to come in us, through us, and to us. But now we come to this prayer, "Your will be done." And as we think about that prayer, we have to understand that praying that God's will be done is necessary because we are, as I said, a sinful and a selfish people. It's necessary because we are a sinful and a selfish people. So we'll ask a series of questions here. First, why do we need to pray, "Your will be done"? Isn't God's will going to be done? Who can oppose Him? What are we asking for when we pray, "Your will be done"? And what is the ultimate goal or the end of praying, "Your will be done," on earth as it is in heaven? So why do we need to pray, "Your will be done"? Isn't God's will always done? Well, in one sense, it is. Job 42, verse 2, Job learned this. Job says this, "I know that You can do everything and that no purpose of Yours can be withheld from You." You can do everything, no purpurpose can be withheld from You. Psalm 115:3, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases." So in one sense, yes, God's will be done. But this is His sovereign will. We don't know that will. We don't know anything except what God has revealed to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says it this way, that the things that are hidden, secret, belong to God. But the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do them. And so there's a difference between God's sovereign will and God's revealed will. So we might ask, why do we need to pray, "Your will be done"? We need to pray, "Your will be done," not in order that God's sovereign will be done. That will be done. We need to pray in order that His revealed will be done. Because His revealed will is not always done. Not by men outside the church, but by His own people. What is the Bible but a record of God's people sinning and sinning and sinning, and of God's grace and mercy again and again? And so we need to pray, your will be done, because his will is not being done. His will was done in the beginning, in the garden, but ever since the fall, humanity has been plagued with this inherent sickness called sin. And one of the sad symptoms of sin is selfishness. You and I have a built-in desire to do what we want to do. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do our own will. And coming to Christ, yes, God puts His Spirit in us and God starts to change us from the inside out and to work in us, but that doesn't take away that war within us. A war of our own will and desire, sinful as it is, and God's. Paul understood this. Romans 7:18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. In other words, Paul is dealing with this situation that he finds himself in. He wants to do, by the Spirit, the things that God calls him to do, the revealed will of God, and yet he finds this battle going on within him. And so we need to pray. We're not praying, again, that God's sovereign will be done, for that is always done, no matter what, but we are praying for His revealed will to be done. His revealed will to be done, and we need to pray it. Because guess what? We don't do a very good job at keeping His will. We know it. Tonight we'll look at that. Prophet Micah, God says, through Micah, God has shown you, O man, what is good. God has revealed to you what is good. You have no excuse. You know what God commands you to do, but you don't do it. So why we need to pray it? We need to pray it because His will is not being done. And we need His help. But what are we asking for then when we pray, your will be done? Well, we're certainly asking that God's will be done personally. That God's will be done by us. That God's revealed will be obeyed by us. Put it like this. We're praying that God would cause us to renounce our own will. Renounce or to reject our own will. Especially as it is contrary to His. To renounce our own will. Jesus spoke of this. Remember, Jesus said, any who would come after me, deny yourself. Deny yourself. It doesn't mean deny that you exist, but it means deny your own will. Deny your will. And so we're praying, we're asking God would personally cause us to renounce our own will, to deny ourselves, and that God would replace our will with His will. That we would be caused to renounce our own will, that God would replace our will with His will. Jesus not only says, deny yourself, but then He goes on to say, take up your cross. In other words, take up whatever it is God has for you to do. Whatever calling God has for you, even if it means going to the cross. Because Jesus was going to do that. Take it up. So that's what we're asking for. That God would do that. Now note, this is a very personal request. Your will be done, first and foremost in my life. This is not a prayer that God's will be done in that other person, although ultimately we'll get to that. It's not a prayer that that would be done in your family, church, or anywhere else before it is a prayer that God's will be done in your own life. It's very easy to pray, God, help them to obey. We don't mind that. But what about God? Make me obey. Change my heart. Even if it means denying myself. It's hard. It's not praying, your will be done as long as it matches my own will. It's not praying, your will be done as long as it doesn't change my plans. And it's certainly not praying, your will be done as long as it costs me nothing. So be careful what you're praying for. Know what you're praying for. Your will be done. Jesus modeled this in his own prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's asking for God's will to be done personally by us, publicly, by all men. That your will be done on the earth. Not simply in my life, but on the earth, everywhere. That's the goal, isn't it? We'll get to that in our third point, the ultimate goal. But right now we're asking that God's will would be done not only personally by us, but publicly. By all. By all. And praying for others. And then finally, we're asking for God's will to overcome every other will, including our own. This is not only a prayer for something positively, but it's also a prayer against something negatively. God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and may every will that opposes you be defeated. May my will, if it opposes you, be cast down. May the will of Satan and all of the demons be overcome. May every will but yours be silenced. It's a prayer that comes with great requirements, doesn't it? A call on our lives to do these things. How is it that we can do this? How is it that God's will be done by us, weak sinners? Well, I want to encourage you with this. We have to remember whose will we're asking to be done. Notice that Jesus begins this prayer with our Father in heaven. This is what gives us confidence to pray this prayer, even knowing that it may lead and will lead to a rejection of our own will, a loss of standing in this world, and even suffering for the sake of Christ. It's because we are praying that we do the will of our loving Father in heaven. When you know your Father, when you know who God is, when you know who you are as His child, you will not see His will as a burden. You will not see His will as something frightening. Ultimately, you will not see His will as something that you do not desire as He changes your heart. Because we know that we are asking not for the will of some far-off God to be done, but the will of a Father in heaven who loves us with an everlasting love. And His will is always good for His children. It's not a hard thing there. And God also then gives us strength to pray this prayer by His Holy Spirit. He works in us that His will be done. And so we are asking that God's holy will, that is God's revealed will, be done by us personally, be done by all men publicly, and God will answer this prayer. Your flesh may not like the answer. That's okay. You will be called to deny your own will, to take up your cross. That is, take up the will of God, to do it, to walk with Him. But that's really what God desires. That's the ultimate goal of praying, your will be done. That we would be transformed, renewed in our minds, conformed into the image of Christ. Notice what Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth. This is a prayer for an increase of holiness in the earth, in us and in others. This is a prayer for the conversion of sinners. This is a prayer that what God promised in Jeremiah 31 would come to pass more and more. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. It's an internal work of the Holy Spirit. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So through the conversion of sinners as they're brought out of a place of darkness and into a place of light, as they're given a heart that desires to seek God's will, but also through our conforming to Christ, Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. He says, this is God's will, and he's speaking to God's people. This is God's will, your sanctification. Sanctification, a fancy word that simply means your growth in holiness. And who is our example? For the Lord Jesus Christ. Our growth in holiness, that is our growth in becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. But notice the standard. On earth as it is in heaven. That's the standard. That's a high standard, isn't it? As it is in heaven. This is as the angels themselves obey. Look with me at Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. The author of Hebrews picks up on this and says that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are inheriting salvation. They are those who do the will of God perfectly. So the holy angels in heaven. And so Jesus here, in teaching us the goal of this prayer, what we are to pray for and what we are to yearn for, is that the will of our Father in heaven, the will of God, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And how is it that the angels obey? They obey perfectly, constantly, without hesitation, cheerfully, without asking any question. That's a big one, isn't it? We want to ask a question. We want an explanation. We want to know, why should I do this? The angels, when God says go, they go. When God says speak, they speak. But you know, the beauty of this is that this prayer will be answered in its fullness. On earth, as it is in heaven, yes, holiness is increasing. Yes, as the Spirit works in us and conforms us into the image of Christ, we are more and more able to do His will. But there is coming a time, as the prophet Habakkuk says in chapter 2, verse 14, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. There's coming a time, Christ returns, the new heavens and the new earth, when this prayer will be finally and fully fulfilled. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this prayer is one in which we are praying, not for God's sovereign will to be done, although we do desire that, but particularly for His holy will to be done. That is, His revealed will to be done by us and by others. This is a prayer in which we are praying against every other will, every will that opposes God's holy will, including our own. And that's probably the biggest one that we need to pray against personally, because that's the one we struggle with. Because we're sinful and selfish people. I hate to break it to you, but you probably already know. We're sinful and selfish people who want to do what we want to do. And the only way that's going to change is if God does a work in us by His Spirit. But God does do that work. So this prayer comes with that warning. Your sinful flesh is not going to like this prayer. Your sinful flesh is not going to want God to answer this prayer. Because your sinful flesh wants to do what you want to do. But here's the warning. Warning. Praying this prayer will lead to an increased desire to obey God. to search out the Word of God to find out His will. It will lead to withdrawal symptoms from the things of this world, including things you once cherished. And you will see they are so worthless when compared with the glory of God. It will lead to not selfishness, but selflessness, putting the needs of others before yourself, a desire to tell people of Jesus. It may even lead to suffering for the sake of Christ in the world as you proclaim the message of the gospel. But it will lead to the conversion of sinners. And ultimately, as Habakkuk said, it will lead to that time when the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what we're praying for. And it's a prayer worthy of our time. It's a prayer worthy of praying by faith. Because the side effects of this prayer are good, aren't they? They are the will of our God. And not only are they the will of our God, but they are the will of our loving Father in heaven. And so as we think about this prayer, your will be done. I hope you have a better understanding of what the prayer entails. I hope you have a better understanding of what, by faith, you can expect God to do. But the question I have is, are you prepared to really pray this prayer? Are you prepared to really ask God that His will be done? Not that God's will be done in some other person, some other family, some other church. Not that God's will be done as long as it matches your own will. Not that God's will be done as long as it doesn't change your plan. And not, certainly, that God's will be done as long as it doesn't cost you anything. Notice the prayer is, your will be done. A song I was listening to, and the lyrics, one of the lines said this, "Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose. Father, use my ransomed life in any way you choose." That's the essence, isn't it? Father, your will be done. You've ransomed me. I'm yours. Use my ransomed life in any way you choose. In any way you choose. God, may your will be done no matter the cost. Are you willing to pray this prayer? Are you prepared for the inevitable side effects of praying this prayer? And if you are, then pray it, and pray it with great confidence. Pray it with great confidence, knowing that God, even our Father's will, is now being done on earth. And that a day is coming when the will of God will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, like the angels in heaven, without question, without hesitation, and without complaint. And may God increase that in you even now in this life. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we confess that we have prayed this prayer, not truly understanding perhaps the implications of it. And certainly, in our sinfulness, not really desiring that all of its fullness come to pass in our lives. Forgive us for seeking our own will, and help us by faith to truly pray and to seek your will. And to be joyful and thankful when you take away all of those other things, all of those other desires that are contrary to your will. Thankful that you have promised to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we long for that day when the knowledge of our Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.